Begin the current daf. Masechta Avodah Zarah, daf Samach Gimel. Begin on the bottom of Samach Beis and Beis, the bottom line on the Amud, where the Gemara now explains and elucidates a brisa that was mentioned in the previous daf. And that is, the Gemara brought an incident regarding the household of Rabbi Yanai, who, because related to a discussion in the previous daf regarding Tfisas Damim of Shvius, which related to the discussion of Yai Nesach, which we had thought that maybe that's the interpretation of our Mishnah Basarich as a pile, why the wages are forbidden because it's related to the Halach of Tfisas Damim, which we said that can't be. But we said that by Shvius, the Shemitah produce, when one goes and barters it for something else, that money that he gets in return also has the Shemitah sanctity to it. Now, that, the house of the Rabbi Yanai had, but they would borrow the Shemitah produce of poor people, because then they had an abundance. The next year, the year after, what's called the eighth year, they don't have anything anymore. So as a favor, they would borrow from them, and then pay them back in the eighth year. So people told Rabbi Yechonon, hey, that's chalipin of Shemitah produce. That should be forbidden in after the post-beer season, and how could they go out and do that? So Rabbi Yechonon said, and they brought a raya from a brisa regarding Esnan Zaina, which is by a harlot, that when she gets paid for her services, which is forbidden to bring that as a carbon, that if, however, she was paid after the Maisa Bia, then that's permitted. Which, what we see is this idea that Rabbi Yechonon was conveying, that the house that Rabbi Yechonon was doing, chalipin is only when the item is still extant, it's around. When, if the Shemitah produce was here, then what it was exchanged for, then at that moment, that thing has the Tfisas Damim of the Shvius. But the household of Rabbi Yanai would eat it in the Shemitah year. When they're giving back the poor people the transfer of that in the eighth year, that's not considered chalipin anymore. That's just considered giving a gift. Just like by the Esnan, where although this animal he's giving her in payment for her services, in lieu of the services, but that was already done. Now that he's giving it to her, it's already considered unrelated, not a chalipin, it's not an Esnan Zayin anymore, and therefore it's permitted. Now, additionally, there was another halacha, which was the opposite, which was if, let's say, he gave it to her, and then only did he then later have bia with her, that's also going to be permitted. Same idea. Which, just like when if he had bia, then he gave it to her, it's permitted, because it's already afterwards. Here, if he gave it to her, but the bia didn't happen yet, so that's also unrelated to the bia, and that's also going to be permitted. That's where the Gemara continues and asks in the Brais on this other halacha, not the one Rabbi Yechonon wanted it for, but the other one. The Brais had said if he gave her the animal for her services, and only after he gave her the animal did he go out and consort with her and have relations with her. So the Brais said it's permitted. Now, the problem with this is l'chi ba'aleha, when he ultimately does have relations with her, as we contain on top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, asks the Gemara, Leichel Allah Isr Esnan Lemafreya. It should take effect, the Isr, the prohibition of Esnan, retroactively, because when he gave her the animal, it was initially for the payment of the bia that he's going to have with her. So, okay, when he gives it to her and didn't have bia yet, you can understand it's not prohibited yet, because it's not the transaction of the bia. But when he does have the bia, then now retroactively, the animal he gave her should be considered Esnan Zayin. Why is that permitted to be brought as a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash? So Amr and the Gir says, Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar says, Kishakadma v'krivasai. We told him where she went and she brought us a carbon beforehand. He says, look, I want to have your services. He gives her an animal on Sunday. She goes to the Beis HaMikdash on Monday. And on Tuesday, he has relations with her. That's why it wasn't prohibited as an Esnan, because when she brought us a carbon, they didn't have relations yet. So that asked the Gemara Hechidame, what's the case talking about? Ida Amr lo kenei lech me'achshav. If he told her, here, go ahead. I want you to acquire this animal right now, before they even have bia, well, says Gemara, pshita d'shari. Obviously, it's going to be permitted to be brought as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, because even though his intention by giving her this animal was prepayment for the bia he's going to have with her, but since he's giving it to her before the bia, it's obviously not payment for the bia, because he's actually giving it to her and letting her acquire it right now. Whereas the Gemara says, d'halesa b'shas bia, it's not even around anymore by the time he's having bia with her. Obviously, it was just a gift, because he's letting her have it now. What do you mean now? If it's just a transaction for the bia, wait a second. You could only acquire when we have bia. But he's not saying that. So obviously, it would be permitted. We wouldn't need the brisa to teach us that. And if he doesn't tell her, acquire it from now. I mean, he gives her the animal now before the bia. But he doesn't tell her to acquire it. Just, hey, this is for payment for the services. So then the question actually is, then hechi matzim karma. And actually, well, you're saying the case is talking about where she sacrificed before the bia. How could she? Forget about Esnan Zayna. How is it qualified as a carbon? But the pasuk in Meyirka, v'ish kiyak, this is basically kodesh amrachim, the Torah says, when a man will sanctify his household as holy, what does that mean? What do you mean his house? Which teaches you the following halacha, ma beis b'rishus, just like someone's house is in his own domain, it's in his jurisdiction. Af kol b'rishus, that means to say anything that's in the person's domain, that's owned by them, they could go out and bring it as a carbon. Here, this animal it's not acquired to her yet. So then how could she bring it as a carbon to say that's the case, that it was given to her before the Biyah and because she already brought it as a carbon, but she can't because she doesn't own it. So what is this case talking about? If she did acquire it, it's obvious. If she didn't, then it shouldn't work. So El Rav, this is the Gemara de Amalah. It's where the man tells to the Zaino, Lahava Gabech Ad Shas Biyah. This should be yours, meaning you got to hold on to it. It's not yours yet until we have Biyah. Now, but he tells her this clause, the imitzrach, but if you really need it, lech kenima achshav, then you could acquire it from now. Oh, so that's why the Braisa had to tell us that even though he tells her that you should not acquire it until the biyah, so that would sound like that would be asra as esnan zayna. But since he subsequently tells her, look, if you really need it, acquire it from now, so therefore, it is considered a free gift. When she goes and she takes it and she's makir it beforehand, he said if she needs to, she could acquire it. And since she does acquire it because she really wants to bring it as a carbon, and she does it before he has bia with her, so there's nothing retroactively for the bia to be chal on the animal because the animal is already sacrificed, and she could. But that still is necessary to say chiddush because ultimately in the beginning he did say it shouldn't be yours until the bia. So we would think to say that maybe she cannot bring it as a carbon and it should have the bia being chal on it as esnan zayna. That's why he said that no. Ultimately, he did say that she could use it, and therefore that's why it's going to be permitted. It's not going to be esnan zayna, and because she brings it beforehand, and moreover, it's going to be considered like beisai that it was in her rishus when she brought it as a carbon. Now, related to this halacha, Bai Rav Hirshi, he says, what's if kadma vikdishasim hau? What's halacha? Not like we just described it, that she went and she sacrificed it before the bia. That's what we explained the halacha of the brisa, that that's mutter. What's if she goes and she sanctifies it before, but it's not sacrificed before the bia? What's the question? Since the Tana says in the Mishnah Kedushin in the first parak, when someone says something to designate what's usually called hekdesh to Hashem, it's kimisirasa lehedit. It's like when you actually give something over to a commoner, meaning just like when you give something to someone, they acquire it. So to when someone says this should be for Hashem, it becomes Hashem's already. So come on, the akrivasidam, it's like it was sacrificed already, means it's not in her domain anymore. It's already Hashem's, and therefore the biya cannot be chal on it to make it into esnan zayna, and therefore it would be permitted as a carbon. Or maybe no, it's still around. If it's still around, so then it wasn't sacrificed yet, and therefore when now she has the biya with the men, it could be chal retroactively, it could take effect on the lamafreya, on the animal, and therefore it will be now in esnan zayna, and therefore it cannot be brought as a carbon. So on this question of Reb Hirshi, the Gemara asks, "V'tifshit mid Reb Elazar." But why can't he end? He could resolve his own question from Reb Elazar's previous statement. Dam Reb Elazar, Reb Elazar said, "Shekadma v'krivasa." He said, "How do we understand the halacha of the Braisa?" He said, "It's because it shouldn't be chalam afreya." The Gemara asked. So on that, he said, "No, it's because she sacrificed already before the bia." So seemingly, you see, dafke hikrivasa. It's only if it was sacrificed already, so it's not even around anymore. But if it was only sanctified, then it would not make it permitted, and it would be forbidden. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar gufe kame boile. That was Rabbi Hirshi's question. His question was in the statement of Rabbi Elazar. My, what did Rabbi Elazar mean? Mifshad pshitale Rabbi Elazar dakrivasa dafke. Was it obvious to Rabbi Elazar that it's only going to be escaping the problem of esnan zayne only if it was already sacrificed? But if it's only sanctified, then not. Why? Because the Issa B'Shasbi, it's still around at the time of Bia, so it could take effect, the designation, the label of Esnan Zayna now, Lamafreya as a transaction from the Bia. I don't know, maybe, no. Yeah, he knew that if it was sacrificed already, then it would already have been permitted. But he was in doubt regarding if it was only sanctified. And that's why he doesn't say it. But it doesn't mean necessarily that that wouldn't work. Take a let us stand. It's not clear. We can't resolve from Rav Elazar. What would the halacha be? Is it only b'hakrava, or maybe is it even when she was just makdashed that it would also escape the label of retroactive from the bia being called as esnan zayin and permitted to be brought as a carbon to base of Mekdash? Now, the brisa we quoted in the previous daf said, if Baal Lehal, which this was the halacha that Rabbi Yochanan had brought to support the household of Rabbi Yanai, if Baal Lehal, let's say he first has relations with the zayinah, and afterwards he comes back a day later and he says, here's the animal payment for your services. Says the Braisa, Esnan Amatur. So there, the Esnan, although it's a transaction for the Maisa Bia, which is disgraceful, but here it's going to be permitted, as we explained the previous Daf, as Rabbi Yochanan had said, for the Bei Rabbiana, because the act was already done, it's not here anymore, and therefore it's not considered a transaction, it's considered like a gift, and she could use that as a carbon. Now, Vermini, however, the Gemara asked a straight contradiction on this Braisa from a different Braisa. The Braisa says, Bo lav achkach nosan lo, if he has relations with her and then later gives it to her, which is the same case, says the Braisa, Fil mekan achol shanim, even from now until 3 years later, if he comes only 3 years later and gives her the payment, esnena osir, the esnan, the animal that's being used in payment, is forbidden. So that seems to be clearly a contradiction. And that says Gemara, Rav Nachman Yitzchok, Rav Chizkiya says, look, kasha is not a difficulty. Why? Ha, this Braisa we just quoted is the Amar, is where he tells her, Hisbali li, cohabit with me, betlezeh, with this sheep, with this animal. Now, whenever he's going to give it to her, it's going to be the Esnan that's going to be the transfer, because he's acquiring it to her right now. He just didn't give it till, he's a lazy guy, didn't get around to it till a week later. But he's telling her, this is the one. So that's the transactions happening then. Contrast, ha, the Braisa we quoted before, is the Amala Hisbali betlestam, is where he just says, have be with me, and I'll pay you with a sheep. So when he gives it to her at a later point in time, that's not Esnan, because like we said, it's only then that she's going to be acquiring it. Then, her bia was already done already yesterday, and that's already gone. And therefore, they cannot be considered transferred to be considered Esnan, and therefore it's going to be mutter. Now, however, the Gemara asks, but v'chiyamala betlezeh, in regards to the second braisa we're quoting now, when you're saying, when he says, with this sheep, so you're saying that, oh, she acquires it now already, and therefore, even if he gives it to her only practically in a week from now or 2 weeks from now, that then it's still going to be usher because she acquired it then at the moment of the bia. But my hava, who cares that he said this? Hamachasa meshicha, but he's still lacking meshicha, which is drawing something, an item, as an act of acquisition. She didn't acquire it, but with just his words, how does that help? So therefore, she didn't acquire it. And when he ultimately gives it to her, the next day, a week later, it's only then that she's acquiring, and then it cannot take effect as a transfer of Esnan Zayin, because the bia was already done a week ago. So it's the Gemara, B'zayna Avedis Kacham, we're talking about when the harlot, the prostitute, was a non-Jewish woman. D'loy Kanya B'meshicha. Her kinyan, her acquisitions, are not done with drawing, because non-Jews are not people that could do Meshicha. They don't have an acquisition of Meshicha, rather, they acquire things with payment. With that's what it was, with the animal is the payment of the Maisabiyah. Because when the Torah says the Kinyan Meshicha, it says regarding a Jewish person, like it says, Oikono miyat amisecha, or if you're going to acquire, as the Gemara says in Mechairis, which it learns of from the Kinyan Meshicha, it's amisecha, your fellow Jew. And therefore, since it's a non-Jewish, therefore, it's with the acquisition, which is the payment, which is the Bia, and then the payment is the Tle, and therefore she acquires it then already, and that's why it's going to be Usr, even if he only gives it to her technically at a much later date. In contrast, the earlier Bryce we had said was with a case where he says Stam, and therefore it's only going to be given at the later point in time, and therefore that was already done, the Bia, and that's why it's not Usr. Or Vibay Sem, or everyone says the Gemara. You could say, no, La'ilam B'zayin Yisraelis. You could even say it's talking about the second Bryce is also when the Zayin is a Jewish woman. But we're talking about where the sheep is in her courtyard. And therefore, since it's in the courtyard, you don't need to have Meshicha. And since it's saying Zeh with this one, she acquires it from now. And that's where it's going to be Asr, even if he only gives it to her 3 weeks later, 3 months later, 3 years later. Now, that is the Gemara. Wait a second. If you're saying the case is talking about where it's in her courtyard, so then, the Braisa we just quoted as a contradiction of the earlier Braisa, quoted it as saying, if he has be with her, and then only later does he give it to her. So he said, oh, it's going to be us saving up until 3 years. She was saying, why? Because he says, this, who cares this? She still doesn't acquire it. No, she acquires it because it's in her courtyard. But if it's in her courtyard, Hokanyala, that means she acquired it already now before the Bia, because it's in her courtyard. And he says, here, have Bia with me for this animal. And it's in her courtyard. And therefore she acquires it because a person's chatzar acquires for them an item. That's a kinyan by itself. So how does the Braisa call it? Bola v'achakach nasan. What do you mean afterwards gave it to her? He actually gave it to her already now before the Bia, because it's already in her courtyard. So it's Gemara loy tzricha. No, it's necessary. It's in a certain type of a case. It's talking about the shavi nahala apaitiki. He went and he made for her this sheep, which is in her courtyard. He didn't give it to her now. He's not acquiring it to her. But he's making it now for her an apaitiki, which is from the word apaitahe koi. From here shall be your payment, which is a specific designated collateral. Where the Amale, he tells her, look, I don't want to give you an animal for payment. I want to give you cash. If I come back, and by that date, I come and bring you cash, then good. If not, if I don't end up finding money, then shakle, then take this animal on that day, that it should be considered the transfer for the payment for the bia that you're giving me. So that's why it's called Bolav Achakach Nosan Law. because he's not giving a tar now. He's only giving a tar then when he doesn't end up coming up with cash, then she could keep the animal as collateral. Now, however, since at the time of the bia, he made that sheep into a paitiki, and it's in her courtyard, so therefore, it is going to take effect as an esna, because retroactively, she already had it at the time of the bia, and that's what's going to take effect. And conscious, when he says stam, so it's not on this animal, he didn't say which one, and when he finally gives it, that's the earlier bryce which says it's going to be mutzah, because it's not retroactive, it's only then, and by that point, the bia was already done, and therefore it's not considered esna zayna. Now, going back to the previous daf, which is why we introduced this whole bryce of esna zayna, which Rabbi Yechon is bringing as support to explain and rationalize the custom of the household of Rabbi Yanai, which we said that one, there's no problem about chalipin, which applies to halachas of esna zayna or shmita produce, with is the transfer of money, that the money has the same sanctity as the thing itself, that he said if the thing is already done, then when the payment is given, it cannot be considered transfer, it's like just a gift. And that halacha must Rav Sheshi, he asked on this teaching, this custom of Rabbi Yanai, which Rabbi Yechon explained in the previous staff, that the bryce says as follows. If a person could tell to his donkey drivers and to his workers, whether they're non-Jews or whether they're ignoramuses, he could tell them, here, take this money, go and buy yourself some stuff. Here, take this money and go buy yourself a drink. Meaning he's paying them, and he could tell them, here, take this money and use it for whatever you need. He doesn't have to be concerned. What would the concern be? As a ketin tamid beis, he doesn't have to be concerned. Loy mishum shvius, not because of the laws of shmita. Meaning, if he's going to give them money, they might go and buy shmita produce from someone who suspects to sell shmita produce. Although you're not allowed to, but they might buy from someone who does sell shmita produce. And the brisa teaches us in Masech the Sugat of Lam Tesem and Aleph that one is not allowed to give the money of shmita produce to an amar. It's more than 3 meals worth, and these people, when he's giving them the money, might be implicit in this isser of buying a lot of Shemitah produce more than 3 meals worth. No, he doesn't have to be concerned for that. Neither does he have to be concerned the limish of meiser. What would the concern be? Where if these workers are amaratzim, ignoramuses, they're going to buy produce which wasn't tithed yet. Comes out that he's feeding them by default, by being implicit, by giving them the money, he's like feeding them untithed produce. Now, why isn't the problem? Because he's not literally feeding it to them. He's giving them money. They're going and buying it. That's not his problem. And also, he doesn't have to be concerned regarding the laws of Yai Nesach, meaning if, let's say, his workers are idol worshippers, non-Jews, and he's giving them the money, and they're buying wine, which then becomes Yai Nesach. Now, it's incumbent upon him to feed them, so it's like almost like if he's benefiting from Yai Nesach, and that says the halacha that there's no such concern because he's not doing it. He's giving them the money. They're using the money to buy these things, and although they're prohibited, it's not his fault. But the imam alayhim, but if he tells them, tzuv ichlu vani pareya, he says it differently, and this is where the problem starts. He says, go out and eat, and I'll pay the bill. Tzuv ishasu vani pareya, go out and drink, and I'll pay the bill. Oh, in that case, essentially, he's buying the prohibited item and feeding it to them. Because here he's not just giving them money and they're doing whatever they want. They're going to the pub and buying some cognac and getting some wine, and he's paying for it. Oh, then says the price, then you run into problems. Then chayshish mishum shvius, then you have to be concerned that maybe you're going to be implicit in buying produce of Shemitah more than 3 meals worth. Umishum meiser, and maybe you might be feeding them untithed produce. Umishum yai nesach, you can be having benefit from the yai nesach that they're drinking. That's what the price says. On that, ask the Gemara Alma. So you see, ki kapara, when he's paying the bill, they drank already, 3 o'clock in the morning last night. He comes 9 o'clock in the morning the next day, he comes to the bar, and he's paying up for what these non-Jews had drunk. You see, and when he's paying demei issa kapara, that we're considering it, that he's paying prohibited monies over here. That's what we're saying. He's considered paying for a prohibited item, even though this yai nesach was drank already last night. But still, when he's paying for that, at a later point in time, we consider it as iser money. So ask the Gemara, Hachanami Hiros, in the case of Rabbi Yanai from the previous Dav, Ki Kapara, when the house of Rabbi Yanai goes and gives back to the poor people who had given them Shemitah produce in the seventh year, although it's already finished already, everyone ate it up, the Bay Rabbi Yanai ate up their Shemitah produce. In the eighth year, when they're paying back the poor people, Dimei isru kapara. But then you see from the brace, the same thing. It's prohibited monies. It does get the transfer of it, even though that thing was already liquidated already. It was already eaten up and consumed. Here the Yain Nesach, they drank already. So why don't you say that what he's paying the pub owner at 9 o'clock in the morning is a matana? Because it can't be a transfer, because you said like the halacha of Rabbi Yannai, that's already done, that's what Rabbi Yechon was explaining. Here you see clearly not. You see it does have the halachic transfer of the prohibited item, and that's what he's paying for the next day. So how is the Rabbi Yannai allowed to do this? Says the Gemara, Tigam Rav Chizr, Rav Chizr interpreted this price that we just quoted, that's Bechen V'ni HaMakifa. When he says, guys, go eat and go drink and I'll pay up the bill, it's not just any store. It's a storekeeper that generally gives this homeowner on credit. The Mishtabid Lay, where this homeowner who has his employees, the employer who has his employees go and eat for dinner or drinks on the house, he's indebted to the storekeeper from the moment that the storekeeper gives food to the workers. And it's like as if he's giving it from hand to hand, as the Gemara explains. The Kivin de Urchela Kufi, since it's normal that he gives it to him on credit, Kanele Dinner Gabe. So the storekeeper relies on this. It's as if that wherever the owner has the money, it's as if it was acquired to the storekeeper already now. That's why that's Chalipin. That is an automatic transfer. In contrast, the halacha of Rabbi Yannai, since these poor people that they would borrow produce from, the household of Rabbi Yannai were not storekeepers. The poor people were not storekeepers that were giving the household of Rabbi Yannai on credit. They weren't so reliant on the money of Rabbi Yannai. And therefore, the monies of the house of Rabbi Yannai was not meshubit to them. It wasn't so automatic. And therefore, when the house of Rabbi Yannai pays them at a later point in time in the eighth year, that's not considered chalip yishvis, because there was no transfer at that moment. Transfer would only happen if I give you on credit, and I know your money is already owed to me because this is how we always work it. Like, that was what in the case of this price, and that's why it's problematic. But when there's no chen v'deha makifoy, like in the case of Rabbi Yannai, then it's not considered like as if their money was already given to the paupers. It's only at a later point in time. That's already gone, and therefore it's permitted. And that is the Gemara, based on what you're answering. So what are you saying? Regarding a storekeeper who doesn't generally give this guy on credit, he tells him to go to a store that he doesn't have any working relationship with. He says, guys, go and I'll pay up the bill. What are you saying? Then mutter. Then the storekeeper would be allowed to do that, even though he says, I'll pay the bill, because that's just like you're saying for the halacha of Rabbi Yannai, where they already drank the Yain Nesach already the last night. When he pays the next day, that's already gone. That's not considered chalipin. And that is the Gemara. Well, ihach, if that's the case, that the reason only why it's forbidden in this price that we just quoted is because he's a regular, he has a bill there on credit by the store, but if there was no credit system with him, then it would be permitted. So the Tani, instead of the Reisha of the Brisa, which was trying to find a permitted way to pay these non-Jewish or Amoratzim workers, it only found it in the case of Tzu'u v'ichlu b'dinazeh. When he didn't say anything that he'll pay the bill, he says, hey, take this money, you guys go and buy what you want to eat. Tzu v'shasu b'dinazeh, hey, take this money and buy and drink what you want to drink. Where he relieved himself, he's done with them by giving them the money. Why? Why'd he have to go to that extreme? Liflik v'lisni, it could have differentiated and taught the permitted case, even when he doesn't totally remove himself from them. Bidida, in the case of the sefer, which is Asr, the Braiser could have found the case that is Mutter. Because the Braiser could have said, B'med v'mum, when do we say that it's forbidden to go ahead and say, I'll pay the bill? That's b'chen v'ni amakifay. That's when a storekeeper who generally has a working line of credit with this employer. The mishtabele, where then he automatically becomes indebted to the storekeeper, and then it's like a transfer happened at that time. The Braiser should have said, but a storekeeper that doesn't have a working line of credit with this employer. For example, if let's say he says, go ahead and eat and I'll pay the bill by a store that he doesn't have a relationship with, where then the Balabais does not become indebted automatically. He'll have to pay the bill, but it's not like it was already taken from him the funds. Then Mutter. Then we should have said that's the case that's permitted. And for sure, when he totally removed himself, but he says, here, you guys take the money and do whatever you want, for sure that's permitted. Based on your answer, why does it go to that case? It could have said even a bigger chiddush. V'ayi morava asked the Gemara, chen v'ni she'im makifei. So regarding this case that you're trying to say, regarding a storekeeper that doesn't have a line of credit with this employer, if let's say he would give food to the agent of the balabais, I mean to the employees, he goes and gives them food. Based on what you're saying, miloy mishtabit? Are you telling me that the owner, the employer, would not become indebted from this point in time? Because that's what you're saying for the explanation of the household of Rabbi Yannai, that's the reason why it was permitted, because there was no shibud that happened at that time. There was no automatic transfer from what was owed from the household of Rabbi Yannai to the poor people. Only happens later point in time, because they're not chen v'ni hamakifin. Is that really so? But Vama Rava says, Someone says to his friend, 10 money leplani. Tells his friend, here, go and give money to that person. And if you give money to that person, yiknu kol nechsai loch. So then all my estates will be acquired to you with that mana that you give to that other person. And that guy goes and gives money to that person. Says Rava, kana. So then the one who gave the money is going to acquire all the assets of this person who sent him on that mission. And that's even though that guy who's giving all his estate to this guy didn't get any benefit from that mana to himself. He said, just give it to that guy. I'm so thankful that you give it to that guy. I'll indebt myself. How does that guy acquire based on that? How does that such a transaction work? So it's Rava Medin Arif. That works from the laws of the guarantor, which is when a person, Reuben lends Shimon $100, so Shimon's the borrower, and Levi says to Reuben, here, lend Shimon $100 and I'll be the guarantor. So you see that Levi could become indebted to Reuben, the lender, even though the money's not coming to him, but by having him give money to someone else, which is Shimon. That's the laws of a guarantor, where the Arif obligates himself to pay even though he's not getting any benefit. So therefore, the case of the Chemini simile is no different, where the employer is telling the storekeeper, give food to my workers and then I will become indebted to you. So you see that even though it's not a Chemini HaMakifoi, Rava's halacha was in any case, not with a outstanding line of credit that this store has with this employer. When he gives it to that third party, whether it be the borrower, whether it be to the workers or whoever the person he wants him to send it to, that then he becomes meshubed right then. So that's back difficult. So why is the hustle of Rabbi Yonah any different? The shibud does start right then, even though it's not chemin makifa. So Elam Rava, rather Rava says, you're right, don't explain the reasoning of the braisa because of the shibud and because of the chemin makifa. Because the truth is, even if it's not a chemin makifa, even though he does not have an outstanding line of credit with the store, the shibud would start right now, like Rava had said before. But it's still not difficult for the practice of the household of Rabbi Yonah. Why? Because loishna makifoi, veloishna shei makifoi. You're right, it doesn't make a difference if it's a store that gives him credit or doesn't have a line of credit with him. Avagav mishabalei, even though the shibud does happen on the properties of the employer that he has to pay, or in the case of the house of Rabbi Yonah that they do have to pay, but kimin lemiyached shibudei, although there is a lien on the property, but he didn't designate what money specifically is going to be owed to this storekeeper, so that's not considered as chalipin, and therefore lemitzah, that's why it's not forbidden. Meaning, yeah, Rav is correct. Even if it's not a chemin makifoi, the shibud begins right away. But you can't call it chalipin, because what do you mean, what was being exchanged? You owe $100. Yeah, I know $100. Okay. But you can't say that the money that's going to give him the next day, the next week, or in the case of Rabbi Yonah, the next year, that's considered the transfer of the Shemitah produce, because this money that I'm giving you in the eighth year, this wasn't designated. You can't call it the chalipin of that. A shibud there was, but you can't call it chalipin if it's not going to have the halachic status of the Shemitah produce on that money. So then the Gemara asks, well, elahacha, but then here in the case of the Braisa, amai chayshim mishum shviyis, then why did it say that there's a concern about Shemitah produce? If he tells them, guys, go out and have a good time, I'll pay the bill. And you're saying there's no difference if it's a chemin makif or not. But here in this case, he didn't designate and says, these guys are going out to have a good time. Okay, I'm putting aside these $100 to pay for their drinking that they're having tonight. He didn't do that. He just said, guys drink and I'll pay the next day. So why is that any different than the house of the Rabbi Yonah, which is saying that although there's a Sheba, but there's no Chalipin, therefore even if they drank Yain Nesach, but what he's going to pay the next day, that was already drunk, and therefore there's not an automatic Chalipin. So Amar Apapi says, no, the case of the Bryce is talking about, Kegon Shehikdim Loi, is when the employer went beforehand to the store, to the pub, and he gave the owner of the store a dinner. He gave money to the storekeeper before he sent the workers to them, and he says, look, my guys are coming later tonight. Here, let these guys eat, and then, you know, this will be paying up front for what they're going to drink. Oh, now, who are they eating from? They're eating from the prohibition of the employer, because it's his money that's buying the food for them, that's buying the drink for them, and if they eat or drink prohibited items, it's coming from his money, and he bought that, and therefore you have to be concerned in that case. Now, Amrav Kahana, Rav Kahana said that Amrit L'Shmaita Kamedri of Zimni Narda. He says, I said over this answer of Papa in front of a Zvid from Narda, and Omali said to me, well, if that's the case, then instead of the Bryce saying it, when it says, the prohibited case of the Bryce was, when he tells the workers, go out and eat, go out and drink, and I'll pay up, But how can you say it like that? Based on the way her papa is explaining it, he already paid up. He went before they went to drink that night. If that's the case, shouldn't say that I'll pay. He already gave him, put down a tab already beforehand. It should say, guys, go ahead, go drink it. I will go and calculate with him because I already prepaid him. I'll figure out exactly. I mean, the guy's not going to drink exactly to the money. So I put down a tab. I gave him $500. I'll figure out afterwards with him how much was the bill and I'll get the change. But if you're saying that it's already gave before him, why say mani pereya? It's mani mechashiv. So Amalei said to him, you're right. To me, you should amend the reading of the Braisa. Tzu'u vani mechashiv. It should say, go out and I'll calculate. But again, that explains the halacha of the Braisa because it's not that he's paying afterwards. If he's paying afterwards, it wouldn't be a problem like the house of Rabbi Yannai. Rather, it's talking about, because even though there's shibud, but still you can't call it chalipin because there was nothing designated. But here he prepaid, so that's the problem you'll have because if they're going to eat shvius or untied produce or yayin nesach, it's going to be his money that paid for it, and that's going to be the problem. Another approach to explain the earlier contradiction. Rav Asha, he says that the case of the chenveni that were concerned in the Braisa that it is problematic, which we thought is a contradiction to the halacha of the family of Rabbi Yannai, the Braisa is talking about kugun shenotel, where that the employer went to the store with the guys. Says, guys, drink on the house. And he takes the food or the drinks from the storekeeper, v'nosen biyad. And with his own hands, he gives it to his workers. He goes, guys, Bob, John, he comes, he goes and gives them to them the drinks. Now, he's literally feeding them the prohibited item. Now, it's not because that he's paying at a later point in time. Rather, here it's because he's actually acquiring it with the Mashiach. And it comes out that he went and bought the Yayin Nesach and he's giving his workers to drink the Yayin Nesach. That's why it's problematic. But the case of the house of Rabbi Yannai, when they take the produce in the Shemitah year, that's permitted Shemitah produce before this Manabir. When they pay at a later point in time in the 8th year, and when Shemitah produce is forbidden, that, like we said, is not Chalipin of Shvius to be Teifis Domehau because that was already eaten, if it's going to be permitted. In the case of the price is, when he actually takes the drinks and gives it to them, that's why it's problematic. He's feeding them the Yayin Nesach or the untithed produce. That has the Gemara Amalei Rabbi Yemel or Rav Ashi. He says, but if that's the understanding of the Braisa, Adetani, instead of the Braisa teaching Tzu'uva Achlu, Tzu'uva Shasu, the prohibited case is when he goes, guys, go out and drink and I'll pay for the bill. Sounds like he's not with them. He's saying, go out, you guys go. If you're telling me the case is talking about where he's there and the problem is because he's giving it to them by his hands, Tzu'uva Achlu, Tzu'uva Shasu Mibayli, it should have said, here, take and eat, take and drink, because he's giving it to them. That's why he's saying here it's usher in contrast to the case of the household of Rabbi Yannai. So Amalei say, said to me, right, according to this interpretation, so Satani, you have to amend, you have to read the Braisa, Tluva achul, Tluva shas, not go out, but take and eat, take and drink, he's giving out to the boys. That's the problem. It might be Shvius or untied produce or Yayin Nesach. That's what's going to be usher. But again, the halach of Rabbi Yechanan for the previous daf explained the household of Rabbi Yannai still stands, which is that if it already has been passed, like the case of Esen HaZayin, it was already done, and then he gives it after the thing is not here anymore, then it's not going to be considered a chalipin of the Shemitah produce or considered a transfer for the Maisa Biyah, because that was already done, and therefore it's going to be considered Matana, and it's going to be permitted whether to eat it past the time of the Shemitah, or whether it's going to be permitted to bring this Esnan as a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash.